step by step.
Hello, welcome to the Fort Lauderdale Primary Purpose Big Book Study Group's Thursday Night Alcoholics and God Speaker Step Series. Let's have our joke now. Spencer's going to come up and tell it.
Hey, Spencer, alcoholic joke teller. And it is, of course, Thursday, so a friendly reminder that the restroom is located right over there. No need to take the stairs. All right, and I got one from Drunk as a Skunk, 150-plus jokes for beer lovers, wine connoisseurs, and raging alcoholics. I relate to Game of Thrones because, much like my own life, I have no idea what's going on, and there's a lot of wine drinking.
All right, thank you, Spencer. I'm a recovered alcoholic, and my name is Jay. Thanks for joining us tonight. In a minute, we're going to start our two-minute meditation, so please take a moment to get situated. Please turn off all devices that make noise that might distract others, and take this time to get connected to God. Let the craziness of the day drift away, and ask God to help you stay focused on the step study tonight. So if everybody's ready, we can start the meditation. Prayer. If you don't know it, it's right there on the screen.
God,
There is a solution from the Big Book, page 17. The tremendous fact for every one of us is that we have discovered a common solution. We have a way out on which we can absolutely agree and upon which we can join in brotherly and harmonious action. This is the great news this book carries to those who suffer from alcoholism. And I've asked Anita to come up and read Spiritual Experience. We read this because the main purpose of the 12 steps is to have one, so it's kind of important to know what one is.
I'm a grateful recovering person today. My name is Anita. Spiritual Experience. The terms spiritual experience and spiritual awakening are used many times in this book, which upon careful reading shows that the personality change sufficient to bring about recovery from alcoholism has manifested itself among us in many different forms. Yet it's true that our first printing gave many readers the impression that these personality changes or religious experiences must be in the nature of sudden and spectacular upheavals. Happily for everyone, this conclusion is
erroneous.
Thank you. In the first few chapters, a number of sudden revolutionary changes are described. Though it was not our intention to create such an impression, many alcoholics have nevertheless concluded that in order to recover, they must acquire an immediate and overwhelming God consciousness, followed at once by a vast change in feeling and outlook. Among our rapid growing membership of thousands of alcoholics, such transformations, though frequent, are by no means the rule. Most of our experiences are what the psychologist William James calls the educational variety, because they develop slowly over a period of time. Quite often, friends of the newcomer are aware of the differences long before he is himself. He finally realized that he has undergone a profound alteration in his reaction to life, that such a change could hardly have been brought about by him alone. What often takes place in a few months could seldom have been accomplished by years of self-discipline. With few exceptions, our members find that they have tapped an unsuspected inner resource which they presently identify with their own conception of a power greater than themselves. Most of us think this awareness of a power greater than ourselves is the essence of spiritual experience. Our more religious members call it God consciousness. Most empathetically, we wish to say that an alcoholic capable of honestly facing his problems in the light of our experience can recover, provided he does not close his mind to all spiritual concepts. He can only be defeated by an attitude of intolerance or belligerent denial. We find that no one need have difficulty with the spirituality of the program. Willingness, honesty, and open-mindedness are the essentials of recovery, but these are indispensable. There is a principle which is a bar against all information, which is proof against all arguments, and which cannot fail to keep a man in everlasting ignorance. That principle is contempt prior to investigation.
Please refrain from disturbing others by talking or constantly getting up and sitting back down. This is a tech-free meeting, so set your phones to airplane meeting mode or just turn them off. And Miriam's going to come up. This is her 12th session. Welcome, Miriam.
Hello, Actually, it's chop that in half, session six. Anything for a shortcut? No, just kidding. I'm Marian. I'm alcoholic. I'm a recovered alcoholic, and I'm grateful to be here and grateful to be able to share my experience, strength, and hope with you all again. And I feel super melancholy tonight, I got to say. It's been of my own choosing, as I do, kind of my own choosing, what God's put on my heart. It's never, you know. But for me, doing six sessions and being able to carry the message, and, you know, my husband's a little better at the 12-week thing and, you know, other folks, and sure, it's like that. But I just really had it on my heart to do it in six, and I really wanted specifically to take this last session specifically for step 12, because it is the sum of all we are to do. It is the sum. We are not here. You know, they say, you know, we can rob from Alcoholics Anonymous. We can come to meetings and dip in and stay sober and leave and go to another meeting and dip in, talk to our sponsor and leave. And that's not what that 12th step is about. It's about everything that I have for fun and for free to be giving it away for the rest of my days. You know, Dr. Bob says it in his story, that sense of duty for those people that for fun and for free gave it away to me, gave me a life, gave me a passion for Alcoholics Anonymous. The moment I stuck my hand on that door at the Northwest group of Alcoholics Anonymous in Bellingham, Washington. The first place I ever felt connected, the first time I ever felt a part of, the first time I knew I was home. And my life up to that point, well, my sobriety date is November 11th, 1989. I haven't been here for a minute. I've been here for a little bit. And Alcoholics Anonymous is my life. You know, my relationship with God is my life, and my relationship with God is what gives me my relationship with my husband and my friends and my sponsees and my sponsor and everyone around me. Because if it isn't for that, I'm sunken. You know, this isn't about dipping in, getting sober, and leaving. It's about sticking around long enough. Like my sponsor says all the time, just help somebody. You know, I can call her groaning and complaining about my life in a minute, and she'll just say, Marian, in her beautiful southern accent, honey, just go help somebody. And every single time it works. Every single time. I've talked to you guys about that one sponsee I have that I call her the blow the hair back girl, you know, and her butt's falling off, and, you know, she'll call me. She won't have inventory written. And, you know, I answer the phone and I feel my hair go back like that. I mean, if you sponsor people, you all got one. I know you do. Right. And she will call and I'll say that it's actually moved forward from that. She is no longer that. But there was a time I called her that, right? And you guys will never know who she is. Never. And then, yeah, I'll never. But the deal is, what I've come to find out through all of that, there was a time and a season where I would just, my own hair was on fire and that phone would ring and it was in my hand. And it's like every single time my hair was on fire, that girl would call. Every single solitary time. I'm in me. I've got my problems. Me, 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 poor me, poor me. You know, all that stuff. And every time she'd call. And the last time that happened, the very last time that happened, God, you know, God knows exactly when to break us. He knows exactly when to break us. And for me, the only way I learn anything is from this place of brokenness that God will bring me to. It doesn't seem I ever learn anything just by, oh, that was a little bump and now I'm good. It never happens that way for me. You know, but in that, there's a book I read, and I've read my whole sobriety, called God Calling. And when that woman calls, God just quickened to my heart. She's not calling. I'm calling. And when we take that deep into our life, you know, we're going to be inconvenienced. Our big book talks about it, and I'm going to read something about that in a minute. But actually, I'm going to read it right now because I love it. Let me find it. I know I'm just jumping right in, full bore, blowing your hair right back. That's what I'm doing. But I love this. This is page 97 in Working with Others. And I like to say this about this paragraph. I like to say that we should almost show this to the brand newcomer. This is what your life is going to look like. It says this: never avoid those responsibilities, but be sure you're doing the right thing if you assume them. Helping others is the foundation stone of your recovery. A kindly act once in a while isn't enough. You have to act the Good Samaritan every day. If need be, it may mean, here's the calling card part I love. It may mean the loss of many nights' sleep, if you're nodding your head, right? Great interference with your pleasures, interruptions to your business. It may mean sharing your money and your home, counseling frantic wives and relatives, innumerable trips to police courts, sanitariums, hospitals, jails, and asylums. Been there, been there, been there, and been there, right? Your telephone may jangle at any time of the day or night. Your wife may sometimes think she's neglected. A drunk may smash the furniture in your home or burn a mattress. You may have to fight with him if he's violent. Oh my God, one time I was on a 12-step call and I'm driving the car and the girl's kicking the back of the seat of the car and we're taking her to detox, kicking me in the head. And I'm like, this ain't cool. You know, sometimes you'll have to call a doctor and administer sedatives under his direction. Another time you may have to send for the police or an ambulance. Occasionally you will have to meet such conditions. And, you know, hey, how does that sound to you if you're brand new to Alcoholics Anonymous? This is what we're signing up for. But ain't it grand? Ain't it great? We've been given this superpower by God to help another drunk. The you know, ministers have helped us. Oh my God. I'm going to read a little bit of that later on. You know, doctors have helped us. Oh my God. But what helps another alcoholic? My brokenness, your brokenness, our shared brokenness together. You know, I remember I was a full blown, I was talking to my big sister about this the other day, and I qualified for Alcoholics Anonymous at 15 years old in my freshman year of high school. And man, I was a hippie chick from Bellingham, Washington, and I couldn't understand why things were so separated. There was the jocks, and there was the nerds, and there was the, you know, the cheerleaders, and the this, and the stoners, where I, you know, all that. And I always had this thing in me, kumbaya, why can't we all just come together? We're God's kids. And where did that come from? It comes from this place deep down inside of me that knows the deep down inside every single one of us, the fundamental idea of God in every single solitary person. And how we touch that and when we touch that, we don't know when that's going to come. But man, and I will be on my face as long as I live, the fact that I get to be here, I get to stay sober, I get to carry a message, I get to have my CrossFit coaches in the second row. Yeah. You know, another phase of my recovery, these boys that, you know, my boys live 3,000 miles away from me and they're like sons to me. You know, and I love them, and they encourage this 64-year-old woman to lift something over my head. You know, and because guess what? This, when we have a threefold illness, the physical part is a part of this. You know, how I take care of me. My big, big book says that I'm to love God, to love others as I love myself, as I care for myself. It flows together, right? It's a flow. So, you know, back in the day, you know, it was 12-step calls. It was the girl kicking me in the back of the seat. It was, you know, my first sponsor, this woman was my second sponsor after my first sponsor died. And my second sponsor was this woman named Karen. And she takes me on a 12-step call. And it was this girl that was a biker that was like 6 foot something. And we're going into this house and she locks us in with her foot on the door like this. And she was mad at us. And I'm like brand new sober and I'm 5 foot nothing. And I'm like scared. And she didn't want this deal. The old-fashioned 12-step call. Somehow we got out of there. Can't remember how we did it. But we got out of there and we got in that car. And we got in that car and we got away from there. And I go, oh my God, it's too bad that Angie doesn't want it. And she goes, yeah, Marion, but you're sober. But you're sober. And that's the deal. We don't get to pick, choose who decide is going to get this and who isn't going to get it. We don't. I mean, there's miracles across this room, and I know some of your stories, and I know how far down, beaten, dragged in the doors you were. So how can I not share that with another drunk? How can I not? You know, detox, day 3, Bellingham, Washington, Marion's overreacted and in detox, and I'm ready to go. And I was like, thank you so much. I had a God in my understanding. I had it. But two drunks came in that room. One was a therapist and one was a nurse, and they sat at the foot of my bed. And I'll never forget that any day of my life. Something happened that day. Because I never took a drink again. The nurse didn't come in to tell me about my medical condition. The therapist didn't come in to tell me that I was, you know, a little mental, which I probably still am. But, you know, they didn't come in to do that. See, they had that look in that their eye, and they had the language of their heart, and they had words of depth and weight. And I was in. How does that happen? How does that happen, guys? This is a thing that we can't explain, this mercy and this grace that comes from God. The day before I got sober, November 10th, 1989, with my matted hair and my champagne blonde Clairol hair and getting drunk twice the same day in a leopard shirt. And the next day I'm looking in my pink, bright pink bathroom in the mirror and something happened. I begged and pleaded to God to be sober. I had these kids at home I wanted to take care of. I had lost my son at 3 months old to a crib death and my mom in the same year. I was a hopeless, hopeless alcoholic. But see, in that detox, when that power of God came and that power of the 12 steps and those alcoholics came, and for the first time in my life, see, this is where it comes together. I didn't feel less than somebody. I didn't feel like this rolled up piece of poop underneath of your shoe. I wasn't that woman. I was home and you guys were messy, man. I'd go to meetings and I'd share and you guys were, or this is what was even better. I'd go to a meeting and I'm thinking, what I'm thinking is absolutely nuts. And then I'd sit down and, you know, it was an open share meeting. I was in charge of cleaning the ashtrays and everybody had smoked through the whole meeting. And they, guess what they do? They would say this stuff out loud that I was thinking in my head. I'm insecure. I'm scared. I'm frightened. I'm not enough. I'm not enough. Never be enough. And you guys said that just, it's so simple and so sweet. The sweetest invitation I ever got. Keep coming back. Our friend Ralph says, come all the way in and sit all the way down. You know? And what a grand life we have, right? to be able to give it away for fun and for free, to pay the debt to those that did it before us. Before us. Okay. I'm going to stop for a little drink. So to carry this message, what is this message? Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps. What is exactly a spiritual awakening? Well, I don't know. I was thinking about this the other day, and you guys could probably understand this. Well, if you're drunk like me, you can. But remember, like, running out? Or, like, you're at a bar and the lights go on. The lights go on and the party's over and it's time to go home. Do you remember feeling like, oh no, oh no? Talk about fear sobering you for a minute. Like, where's that next thing going to come from? I don't know. These are the things we can take at 1 year sobriety or 2 year sobriety or 5 year sobriety or 10 years. These are things that we can just go, oh yeah, I don't do that anymore. Well, that's a bit of a spiritual awakening that we don't do that anymore, right? As the result of these steps, as the result, the whole message of this book, the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, is to bring us into this relationship with the power greater than ourselves, which can restore us to sanity. What's insanity? Being at the bar, the lights go on, and I want another drink, and where am I going to go? Right? Today, it's, I don't need a drink. I need a drunk. I need a drunk to work with, not to be drunk. Okay. So practical experience shows that nothing will so much ensure immunity from drinking as intensive work with other alcoholics. It works when other activities fail. This is our 12th suggestion. Carry this message to other alcoholics. You can help when no one else can. You can secure their confidence when others fail. And securing that confidence, it isn't from like this head full of knowledge. Have you ever noticed that you just get somebody, you're 12-stepping somebody, and you'll just start laughing about one of the stupid things you did? Oh my God, one of my favorite 12-step calls ever was at the old Fort Lauderdale Hospital, and Mike Chase and I, there's this young man. And he was, we were in the lobby. We were hanging out in the lobby of Fort Lauderdale Hospital. And this young man's waiting to go in. And his dad's there. We're waiting and waiting and waiting. The room is just full of drunks. There's this one lady laying on the couch and she's crying. And this other woman's crying. And they're consoling each other. They're consoling each other. And our books, you know, there's old timers that used to say there's no love like one drunk for another. Our love that we get each other. And Mike and I went over to 7-Eleven and we bought this big old bag of candy and we're handing out candy in the detox in the lobby. That's a far cry from a really fun night. Or a really fun day from the things I used to think were fun. But I'm telling you, we had a blast. And when those two women were one's crying and the other one's holding on to her when she's crying, it was beautiful. It was a beautiful thing to see that they were comforting each other in that moment from whatever troubles they were having, you know? So just wanted to tell you about that. Okay. Here's some promises of working with others, too. It says, life will take on new meaning. To watch people recover, to see them help others. Oh, God, I love that part. To watch loneliness vanish. To see a fellowship grow up about you. To have a host of friends. I remember at Northwest Group, I had, there was this girl came in named Mary and she's 15 years old. And then I had C.B. McLaren, the old alcoholic with his flat top and his warted nose, alcoholic warted nose, his suspenders and his flannel shirt, and he was my best friend. See, it was always about fitting in. It was always about being the cool kid. It was always about who am I hanging with? And you guys, I don't ever, like my job in Alcoholics Anonymous, our job in Alcoholics Anonymous, to be a sufficient example of God, of recovery and what that looks like. Our book talks about that there is none who is sunk too low. There is none. We, you know, Peter and I, we drive here and we're going along Broward every week when we come here. And it's just, it's heartbreaking. You know, we roll down the windows and we ask them their name and we hand them some money if we, you know, if we happen to have some cash, you know, we'll do that. But there's none who sunk too low. I don't get to decide, oh, that person's in the right class or this one's not in the right class. That there's room for all of us. You know, some of the hardest people I've ever worked with are people with high levels of education and money galore, you know, that never runs out. I can't imagine doing that. I mean, and if that's your life, God bless you and you're here and that's fine and that's great. Come on in. But the deal is, I don't know what it's like to never run out of money doing it. I mean, that's got to be tough. It's actually probably got to be a little bit harder. I don't know what that's like. So, okay. I wanted to go here. This is Bill at the beginning. For a moment, this is Bill when he has his white light experience in the hospital. So for a moment, I was alarmed and called my friend, the doctor, to ask if I was still sane. He listened in wonder as I talked. Finally, he shook his head saying, "Something's happened to you. I don't understand, but you better hang on to it. Anything is better than the way you were." See, this good doctor, our good doctor, Dr. Silkworth, could have discounted that. Man, you know, delirium tremens, I don't know if you guys have had any hallucinations, but I sure have, you know. Like, had that doctor, had our doctor not have said what he said to Bill, we may. You know, our lives in Alcoholics Anonymous, this providence that happened for us hangs by a thread, a decision after decision, a thought after a thought, an encounter after an encounter that lines things up for us to be sitting here today. The good doctor now sees many men who have had such experiences. He knows that they're real. So this is Bill. While I lay in the hospital, the thought came, okay, Bill Wilson, selfish, self-centered, egotistical, blah, 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 like us, right? While I lay in the hospital, the thought came that there were thousands of hopeless alcoholics who might be glad to have what had been so freely given to me. Perhaps I could help some of them. Okay, that's Bill. That's me. I don't know about you, but man, oh man, the second I got to be able to help someone else, because that's where we get this, right? I cannot outgive God. What I give away for fun and for free is always returned back to me. It might just be I'm sober that day, but I'm sober that day, you know? Perhaps I could help some of them. They, in turn, might work with others. It wasn't like God said, oh, holy, holy Bill, I'm here for you, buddy. Now you get to be sober. No, the divine thought comes to Bill that maybe he can help others. Wow. My friend had emphasized the absolute necessity of demonstrating these principles in all my affairs. All my affairs. What am I doing at home? What am I doing at the grocery store? What am I doing at work? What am I doing at Temperance? You know, what am I doing? You know, what am I doing? Am I practicing? Am I the same person everywhere I go? when I'm practicing this stuff, when I'm running into Anita at the groceries. I mean, was I cool? Did I put my cart back? Simple things. And it says, particularly was it imperative to work with others as he had worked with me. Faith without works was dead, he said. And how appallingly true for the alcoholic. For if an alcoholic failed to perfect and enlarge his spiritual life through work and self-sacrifice for others, he could not survive the certain trials and low spots ahead. And I love that line, the certain trials and low spots. Guys, because they're certain. They're going to happen. This isn't about a little magic wand we get to wave over us and now I'm sober and it's all life is going to be butterflies and rainbows. But see, I don't know. Dr. Bob talks about that later on too in his chapter about I take out insurance from that drink. How much I'm working with another. I'm working with another. I'm working with another. Oh my God, certain trial and low spot. I'm working with another. And every time I'm doing that, I'm taking out insurance against that next drink, right? Okay, have you ever had a health issue? Yeah, we have health insurance. We have auto insurance, right? You know, it's kind of sucks. I've done it. Gotten in a wreck with no insurance. Or you go to the hospital and you don't have health insurance, like, right? So it's just a practical way of saying it. It's pretty smart, right? but you know what I mean? I'm taking out insurance every time for insurance against that next drink. Every single time I'm working with another drunk. I apologize for my nose, guys. I don't know why it's dripping. Okay. Now I'm going to touch on Dr. Bob for a minute and like, so, this is Dr. Bob. It's the most wonderful blessing to be relieved of this terrible curse with which I was afflicted. My health is good, and I have regained my self-respect and the respect of my colleagues. My home life is ideal. My business is as good as can be expected in these uncertain times. I spend a great deal of time passing on what I learned to others who want and need it badly. I do it for four reasons. A sense of duty, right? The superpower that we've given, a sense of duty to those people that did it before us. I mean, how dare I not give this away? Number one, a sense of duty. Number two, it's a pleasure. Number three, because in so doing, I'm paying my debt to the man who took time to pass it on to me. And four, because every time I do it, I take out a little more insurance for myself against a possible slip. He says this at the bottom of the page. If you think you're an atheist, an agnostic, a skeptic, or have any other form of intellectual pride which keeps you from accepting what's in this book, I feel sorry for you. If you still think you're strong enough to beat the game alone, who was like me? Beat the game, beat the game, beat the game. I'm going to do this. I got to do this. I would be drunk the night before and make an amends on the phone in the morning. Sorry, never going to do that again. I'm sorry. I go from step powerless over alcohol, making amends. I'm never doing it again as long as I live. That's what I did over and over and over again. And I meant it with everything I was. I meant it. But somehow, by 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm thirsty. And I can't even, like our book talks about, I can't even bring to mind. It doesn't even show up how bad yesterday it was. They'd be like, meh, that was all right. I mean, I guess it was kind of bad, but I can have a couple, whatever. Right? If you still think you're strong enough to beat the game alone, that's your affair. But if you really and truly want to quit drinking liquor for good and all and sincerely feel that you must have some help, we know that we have an answer for you. It never fails. If you go about it with half the zeal you have been in the habit of showing, when you are getting another drink. Your Heavenly Father will never let you down. That's in the words of Dr. Bob. It's warm up here. I'm going to close with something I always close with. I'm going to wind it up. First of all, this is just for me. You know, like last night I was super excited about coming today, and then today I was like totally freaked out, which I always am. But I feel like I just feel like so connected to you guys this round, this time. I feel like you guys have really accepted the true essence of me in my stumblings and in my breakings and my misgivings and my, this whole journey has just been, it's just been very real for me. It feels like this has been my home group for a long time, but it really has felt like a coming home, like a coming home. And, I just adore and respect everyone here that helps put this meeting together and works so hard to keep it happening. And if you're new here, you know, please keep coming back. The doors are open here for you at Alcoholics and God. And there was a man who shared a while back. It was a few years ago. And I had heard this for the first time. And I always close step 12 with this. This is a poem by Sam Shoemaker. And Tom Matthews did it here like 4 years ago, and I'd never heard it, 4 or 5 years ago maybe. And I just honor and respect and love him. And thank you to the people that are on Zoom that are coming in. I have women that I sponsor like all over. I'm not trying, this is, that are spread out across the United States that are able to come and Zoom in on this meeting. And so I love that. That's one of the great things about Zoom is people being able to come together. And like your Swansea sisters are on there. Mary Ellen, when she was in Boston, she was on. But so here it goes. Here's a little headline before that. So Shoemaker stands tall as an evangelist who seeks to help people find God. That was embodied in his life. It was a starting point for AA's 12 steps. And Bill says, went on to say that Dr. Sam Shoemaker was one of A's indispensables. Had it not been for his ministry to us in our early time, our fellowship would not be in existence today. So this poem is called I Stand by the Door. I stand by the door. I neither go too far in nor stand too far out. The door is the most important door in the world. It's the door through which men walk when they find God. There's no use me going way inside and staying there when so many are still outside and they, as much as I, crave to know where the door is. And all that so many ever find is only the wall where the door ought to be. They creep along the wall like blind men with outstretched, groping hands, feeling for a door, knowing there must be a door, yet they never find it. So I stand by the door. The most tremendous thing in the world is for men to find that door, the door to God. The most important thing any man can do is to take hold of one of those blind, groping hands and put it on the latch that only clicks and opens to a man's own touch, the master's touch. So thanks for hanging out with me these last 6 weeks. And we got Peter coming up next week. And it's just been just such a joy and a privilege to be with you. God bless you all. Thanks.
All right, let's thank the speaker one more time. And we're going to have a secretary's report.
Good evening. I'm a recovered alcoholic, and my name is Mike Chase. Before we go any further, I'd like to invite Marion up again. We're going to present her with her limited edition Alcoholics and God coffee cup. We also have limited edition refrigerator magnets. And thank you for the 6 weeks. They were just amazing. We love you,
love
so,
you
much.
So much. Thank you.
And there you go. She's going to open up a store and sell those someday. I'm a recovered alcoholic. My name is Mike Chase. In keeping with the seventh tradition, which states that every group shall be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions, the baskets are now going to go around. We also have QR codes on the chair backs if you forgot to bring cash like I always do, but we have that so you can help out there. I've asked Molly to read the recovered statement. We read this notice to explain why many people in AA identify as recovered rather than recovering and what it exactly means to be a recovered alcoholic. So let's welcome Molly up with applause. She's really shy and bring her up. Hi. Yeah. You thought you could do it back there, didn't you?
I did. Hi, my name's Molly. Okay, we are not cured of alcoholism. Recovered but not cured, that presents a conflict to some alcoholics. If we were cured, we'd be able to drink responsibly. No, we are not cured. The allergic reaction to alcohol will remain with us for our lifetime. But we have been restored to sanity. That was a problem. The main problem of the alcoholic centers in his mind rather than in his body. We are now sane where alcohol is concerned. Consequently, we have recovered.
Thank you. ...1940-style Big Book sponsorship from the forward of the second edition of Alcoholics Anonymous. Of alcoholics who came to AA and really tried, 50% got sober at once and remained that way. 25% sobered up after some relapses. And among the remainder, those who stayed on with AA showed improvement. What we've seen, felt, and come to believe and experience is that God has not changed over time, and neither should the sacred approach back to his loving arms. The statistics above suggest a 75% success rate. Over. Is anyone in need of a sponsor? Raise your hand if you're... Now, if you're really shy, go stand awkwardly by the piano in the back, and someone will come and chat with you. That's our secret place. Can I see a show of hands of all the recovered alcoholics? Now, if your hand's not up, these are the people you should be hanging out with. Figure out how they do it and get to know God, too. Screen announcement. Boom. It is kind of hard, isn't it? Intergroup, where you buy AA-related literature and medallions. Intergroup is also responsible for creating our when and where and scheduling the AA hotline. Stop by and visit them. Next slide. Broward County Institutions Committee is responsible for bringing meetings into places where people like us can't get out to an AA meeting, such as jails, detoxes, rehabs. They meet monthly to organize their meeting schedules at the 12-step house. Is it still the 12-step house, you guys? Any members of the BCIC? Good, guys. Those are the people you're going to want to talk to. Go help them do that things. And then some upcoming things. We have the Fort Lauderdale Primary Purpose Big Book Study Group. Mondays meets at 7:15. We got Peter M., J., B., and myself are co-facilitating. I'm out of town next week, so it should be a good week. Come check it out. It will be fantastic. Next. And then we got Peter M. Start. If you haven't heard from him, he's amazing. That starts next week through September 12th. And rumor has it we're going to have a meeting on the 4th of July, too. Come here, get really sober, and then you can just take the little trolleys down to the beach and watch the fireworks. So that could turn out to be a really fun night. I guess we are doing it now. Okay, never mind. We have CDs, mugs, large print big books, and little red books and big book dictionaries for sale in the back. We meet every Thursday, starting promptly-ish, sometimes at 7:15. And we ask that you be courteous and ready to begin at the sound of the ringing bell. Back to the chair. Thanks, guys. See you guys later.
We have tonight's session on all of the past speakers podcasted at alcoholicsandgod.org. I'd like to invite everyone to our Monday night Big Book study. And those who wish to thank tonight's speaker, please line up down the center aisle. and then we can close with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. See you next week.
I am desperately in need of restoration, yeah, and I am ready for you to take me higher, yeah. The only thing that I can do is keep on praying. These possessions that I have amount to nothing at all. Me back on my feet again.
zan, zan, zan. Oh, when you're smiling, when you're smiling, the whole world smiles with you, baby, baby. Yes, when you're laughing, when you're laughing, yes, the sun comes shining through. But when you're crying, you bring on the rain. So stop your sighing, baby, and be happy again. Yes, and keep on smiling. Keep on smiling, baby, and I hope. Let it shine.
Michael Chase, here's that song you've been asking me for a million years. I finally pulled it out the corners of my mind, and here you go. Song is. God bless. I love you, Mike Chase. Bye.
I think you know this one, don't you? Shine a light on me tonight. Got one man that just won't sell.